Can we praise God for those wonderful words that were said in those remembrances? Thank you so much for those wonderful stories. Those were remembrances earned because Mike was that kind of person. Mike and Cindy produced those three gentlemen with those wonderful words to say. He was blessed to have a brother and other brothers as well who have those same remembrances too. Friends, those stories, they were consistent for the most part, weren't they? And of course, not knowing Mike as long as you, I heard them all for the first time. And so I didn't know of the secondary, the little bit of the emphasis that came the second time until Mike began to hold court here at church. And because of his travels, you know, we too didn't know him as well as we did once those travels stopped. Right after his retirement, Mike enrolled himself in Bible study fellowship and was studying Isaiah. And I think he said, Isaiah is not a walk in the park, isn't that correct? And for not a fun day, right. And that would be a philosophy major who would look so deeply into Isaiah to see that. And then as Mike began to tell, again, these stories with us, we watched him coming in Sunday after Sunday, and he'd sit over at the table at the end there by the windows in Friendship Hall. And especially when he began to use the wheelchair, which kind of put him on almost like a throne. And the men would gather around him. And I was so impressed, and I went in there one time just before worship, and I heard him telling the same story as I'd heard before, although it was a little bit different too. So now I understand what that means. Faith and family and friends and fun was a theme, of course, that he shared with you all, both at the retirement and also in the testimony as well. When Mike first heard about ALS, he said to me, and I know he said it to you as well, because one of the things that you hear in all these stories is a consistency of Mike. That's the honesty and integrity of his life. And he said, you know, I'm not afraid of dying. It's the process I'm not too excited about. Now, he said that toward the beginning of the diagnosis, but towards the end, we heard that less and less. Again, because he would spend his time asking all of you how you were doing, how your family and your friends were doing, even at church. And Mike had a way with the teenagers here at church as well. I thought he was just treating my son in a special way, but it turns out he also treated the sons and daughters of us grown-ups in the life of this church in the same way, asking them how they're doing, what they're up to, and giving advice as well. Advice in Mike Prince style, which had a cleverness to it, which had a good outcome to it, which was very positive indeed, was very much Fawcett-like. We all gained from that, and many of us will miss that. I already miss Mike's coming in. I miss the opportunity to give him a Reuben and a milkshake. I miss the what's that? From Culver's, that's right. Advertisement gave by Cindy there. I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying. I miss fumbling around at Jake's restaurant with the new wheelchair, which came out of the van okay, but fell apart as soon as we got in, with a waiter who said it was his first time with us. And so the staff person was trying to find Allen wrenches for us, and Cindy was trying to make the thing go, holding the remote in her hand, which was supposed to be connected to the arm of the chair. Mike's trying to give some orders. Cindy is going back to Mike saying, I can't do that. I can't make that work. I started to feel helpless as a pastor. I don't think anything else but a silent prayer was going to work at that time. But we worked together, and that server was so kind, and he gave us the Allen wrenches and screwdrivers and so much, and we were able to get the thing to work. And Cindy, I remember that one time when you had him right at the table, but I noticed right under the table, his feet had just gotten run over by the wheels. Mike said nothing. Mike said nothing. And I looked at him, I said, can you feel pain? He goes, yes. I said, Cindy, we got to get him back right away. And he did. Never complained anyone he had the opportunity to do so. And in all of that time with Cindy working toward that, that was all just to make Mike feel comfortable so that Mike and I could have time together. She left and probably went and had her Cindy time as well. Maybe that was a nice break for you too. But as Cindy had brought Mike in for those lunches, Mike said, I couldn't do this without her. I'm so grateful. When we gathered with the family upon Mike's death, and I got one of those one-in-the-morning phone calls pastors don't like to get, by the time I arrived, family was there and Cindy was surrounded. Some of the great remembrances that were happening right then and there, great stories told by the family. Indeed, Bob saying what a gift it was that Ryan could come out early, because we never knew this, God's providential plan of covering for this family, even in the midst of a terrible disease. And even Cindy saying, I believe it was you who said this. Somebody did it, and somebody said it wisely. Who would have known to put him with a nurse who could have that kind of patience and care, not only of a loving wife, but also of somebody who knew what to do well. Mike would credit Cindy for lasting as long as he did. He was the one who told me, in his curious way of learning about things, that when he was at the support group, he learned that the average lifespan of a person with ALS was 33 months. If my calculations are right, because it was two Octobers ago, when the official diagnosis came, he beat it by a month and probably more. Because I know that many of you, and myself included, noticed that his head was down lower than it should have been. And I was wondering if Mike had neck problems, but perhaps that was the first sign.
But he said he wasn't sleeping
very soon. So he, I don't know if you all heard that. Let me repeat that because I like that one. He said he wasn't sleeping during my sermon. He just couldn't hold his head up. Yes. All right. Thank you, Cindy. We all have wonderful memories of Mike, and we heard a few this afternoon. In our mind here at EPPC, our memorial services don't end at the end of the service. They continue. At the end of our service and at the benediction, as I give the prayer, it'll also include our prayer for our cookies and treats and also for the ice cream sundaes, the favorites of Mike. And on his behalf, then, those will be available to you as well. So will the opportunity for you to tell your stories. Your remember Mike's stories. Remember when Mike did this, or remember when Mike said that. That'll be very important for us all to hear those wonderful stories as well. Mike did indeed say that ALS became a gift for him. Who would ever have said that? We shared this a little bit last night as well, and I wanted to do so today. Once again, he said that ALS brought him within the chalk lines of his faith. He gave his testimony here on a Sunday that we talked about distractions. And Mike said there's a lot of distractions out there in life, and he had the opportunity to sample some of those in his own life and as well say no to many. Many things were offered to Mike. God blessed him wonderfully in leadership and success and relationships. And he knew what it meant then, even to receive something like this and to see it as a possibility of learning new things, of learning of a new way to trust in God, of learning in a new way to grow as a disciple by coming to BSF every Monday evening, for his opportunity to get closer to people here in the church and for us to be as blessed as many of you have for knowing him for so long. In faith, in family, in friends, and in fun, that summarizes Mike's and Cindy's life and the family as well. And I pray that the same is true for you, that you take this same kind of faith that Mike took upon himself, trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life, so that we can understand that God healed Mike even before he was diagnosed with ALS. We said this last night, we'll say it again today. God healed him even before he was diagnosed with ALS. You see, because God gave him eternal life before his life was shortened here. He did not cure him of ALS, but he healed him of it now and forever. His name is Mike. He is alive. He is not here. He rests with the Lord. I pray that as Mike had given you probably some sort of advice in your life, the greatest advice that he could give today, because he sees in ways that not even he could see. He no longer feels any pain. He knows answers because he's with the answer. I think he would share that same thing with you, to trust in God. We like to memorialize people. We like to say his memory will never die. Well, how could you put that to truth? I think Mike would be the first to challenge that, unless it could be brought out in a practical way. And I invite you to think of a very practical way to truly memorialize Mike. In order to do that, I would invite you to do this. I'd like you to think of that one thing that you most appreciated about Mike. Maybe it was his golf game, maybe it wasn't. There was something greater in his life. Again, being the faucet and not the drain. Advice that you received from him before. Advice to be a person of faith. Being a person of integrity like Mike. The storytelling. The positive nature. What is it that impressed you most about Mike? I want you to take that and now do that in his memory. I want you to take that part of his life on and spread that around, because now Mike's no longer here to do it. He's no longer here to bless this world. We will miss him. We will grieve that. But if you truly wish to memorialize him, don't say his memory will last forever, because it won't, unless you do something in his name today. Take that great attitude. Take that faithful attitude. Take that courageous and fearless way of life and curious way to figure things out. And live that so that others can have what Mike would give if he was here today but cannot now. In those early morning hours as I gathered with the family, I think it was John, who I had met for the first time, said to me, John, what is that passage? Find that passage for us that talks about the Lord preparing a place for us. And I had already turned to it as one of the passages I wanted to share with the family. And the Spirit was certainly there guiding us through that time. And here are the words that I gave to the family, and I give these to you as well, from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and also then verse 27. This is the evening in which Jesus is betrayed. He is left behind by his disciples as well. And this is what he says to his beloved, the ones that he will entrust to carry his name and his work on, past his own death, through his resurrection, and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. But he loved his disciples enough not to be hurt by what he knew would happen to them and how they would betray him, but because he is God, the divine Son, fully God and fully human, able to take our sin upon himself and put himself onto a cross, but divine enough to kill death and put it at the foot of the cross once and for all, for all of us who seek forgiveness in Christ. Jesus says this to his disciples in a very calamitous time for them. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, for where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. But Thomas, one of the 12, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And in verse 27, Jesus says to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.